years, and Lumumba since he was 4 years old, which is 36 years. Actually, Kent about that time too. When I moved here from Oregon with my children and lived outside of Eugene and had a farm and started an elementary school, and got involved with the Eugene Coalition there, and through them met Kent here in Portland, and then that next year moved up to Portland with my daughter because the schools were better here than out in the country. She was in high school by then, and so I came here and just got involved in things in Portland.
Can you tell the Lumumba story?
Yes. I mean, for me, it actually even goes back to the time that he was in high school and he was going to Benson, and I knew he was interested in China and learning Chinese. And I was involved in the schools in Portland, and I knew there was a magnet program at Lincoln High School. So I suggested he transfer to Lincoln so he could study Chinese. So he did, and he spent 2 years there. And
what year is this about now? I don't think it's so easy to get a transfer nowadays somehow.
Well, if it's a magnet program, I think the program, you know, the school systems worked out differently now, so it's not.
Yeah,
it not
but so just to set our time frame, about what year are we talking about?
Well, I moved to Portland in 75, so this was actually maybe I was at the naturopathic college then. I went there in 76 until 80, so it was maybe. No, but he was only four, so it was later. See, I've been in, he was in high school by then, so he's just 40 now, so.
Yeah. Yeah,
what,
so.
What, 25 years ago or something?
Yeah.
So that would have.
So he was in high school here in Portland at Benson High.
Yeah.
And you knew him then?
Well, I knew him from the time he was four, but I'm saying that his involvement, I think, began with that by going to Lincoln and being proficient in Chinese and going to China. He was chosen in high school. He ended up spending a year there, and he went to Morehouse for a year.
That sounds like extraordinary youth, really, to learn Chinese. Not everybody does that, I guess.
He's an amazing young man. He's a really unique, amazing, intelligent, beautiful young man, and very conscientious, very concerned about people and being of aid to people.
What was his intent, do you think, in learning Chinese, or his interest in learning Chinese?
I don't know. His family somehow has a connection to it. Kent was chosen because of his work in the community to go to China through this Friends of China committee. They chose people from all over the United States, and he spent, I think, a month or more there. And then Lumumba's mother went, and then his brother, actually, who's now a physician from graduated from Stanford Medical School and is down in the at the University of Oregon. He met his wife in China. His wife's from Norway, and they met in China. Mm. So there's some kind of strong Chinese connection. And while in China, then he converted to Muslim. And when he came back, he was just looking for finding his place, you know, finished school, and then started teaching children at a mosque up in the southwest Portland.
You said you've known him since he was four. Did he have a religion at that time?
No, not when he was four. He was just a gentle, beautiful young man. But he was always a leader.
How about
I'll tell
in high
you
school?
I'll tell you a story. Like my son played football for Jefferson High School. And so Lumumba and his brother Sekou would want to go to the football games. They lived close by the high school then, and they had to have an adult with them. So I would take Lumumba and Sekou, and then their little friends would be outside the gate, and they'd say, come on, you got to go get this one in. You know, so I had a little row of kids there at the football game, and they really looked to Lumumba as a leader. He was really calm and strong and beautiful. And then in high school, I had studied at the naturopathic college, and I was a vegetarian. And so Lumumba wanted to be a vegetarian, so his father was asking me for recipes, you know, to make vegetarian dishes for him. And he also did a form of, like, Tai Chi, some kind of a really gentle, flowing kind of movement that he... I saw him on television once when he was in high school with a demonstration of it with some other students.
Something he learned in China or from the...
Possibly, or maybe his uncle, I think his mother's brother, I think was involved in that, and I think possibly he learned from him.
So we have a high school young man who's obviously very talented. He went to Morehouse, you say?
Yes, he went there, and he was chosen from there to go to China for a year. And he said he knew, he also did some, had some contact with Native Americans here in Portland. And when he came out of Morehouse, this eagle flew over. And he was waiting to hear if he was going to be accepted to go to China. And this eagle flew over, and he just had the feeling, yes, I'm going to be chosen to go.
I forgot. When did he convert to Muslim? After that?
Yes. That was one of his first trips to China, his second trip to China. He was older because he met his wife there, and they have a 10-year-old child.
So. And his wife is from Sweden, did you say?
No, his brother's wife's from Sweden. His wife's from China.
His wife's from China. Wow.
They reach far for their the women that they choose.
So he, did he come back to the States to live then after that?
Yes, he just was studying there. An interesting thing, you know, his father thinks maybe they had their eye on him when he was there. He George Bush Sr. came to the Nanking Institute there where he was studying for, in the John Hopkins grant, and Lumumba stood up and asked, why did he pardon Oliver North?
Wow.
So he was, I mean, he grew up, you know, around questioning things and being supportive of alternative movements and alternative efforts. You know, his father had started these breakfast programs and health clinics and dental clinics in the community. And so he was, when he was teaching too at the Muslim school in Southwest, he would go to the airport and pick up Muslim families and help them find housing. And he was just very devoted and a very, very, even to this day, he's very dedicated in his Muslim faith. I've sent him some books to the prisons, you know, that he reads, and he's very faithful about his prayers. He also does yoga. When he was in prison in California, he started yoga classes. And then one of the guys in his class asked if he knew about these five Tibetan rites, and he hadn't heard of them. He asked me. We were writing letters to each other, and I was studying with this Chinese Tibetan man that did this form of Qigong empty force work. So he told me, oh, there was a woman from Uzbekistan in our class, and she knew. So I asked her, and then got some, had a book sent to Lumumba about it, and got one myself and started doing them myself, and I still do. This is maybe 5-6 years ago now, 5 years anyway, and I still do them regularly, almost every day. They really help just for vitality and longevity and
the flow of chi.
Yeah, I was recently in India, and I was doing it, and people were amazed at my age, you know, what I could do. And so they, I had all these other young women and older women coming and doing them with me. You just spread out your yoga mat and give your five Tibetan rites.
Wow, you make growing old more optimistic for a man almost 50.
I'm 71. I got you, by the
way. You're a show-off. So we have a very promising young man, obviously. Everything going for him, and really it seems like an interest in helping other people.
Yeah,
and that
absolutely.
came from his family, apparently, from
absolutely.
What you've described.
And his parents, his mother was very involved, his father. I mean, when I met his father, I did some work, too, at the dental clinic, and then actually a fellow student and I organized the health clinic into a naturopathic clinic on Williams at one point. And his father was instrumental in helping us to do that. And we were serving like low-income welfare people with naturopathic care.
Did you bill insurance companies?
I tried as a naturopathic physician. It wasn't so easy. They didn't want to pay. I would bill and rebill. Yeah. But I used to do the billings for the dental clinic, and they would pay the dental clinic, you know, the dentists from OHSU that were volunteers. Kent was really amazing in recruiting dentists and doctors to service the clinics, and some that are still good friends of his. So Lumumba did, and he, you know, he just was searching, trying to find his niche, and he found a lot in the Muslim faith. He's really devout to this day. He's really, you know, he was so innocent when all of this hit. He had no suspicions. He just trusted and just talked freely. He didn't know that this Egyptian the FBI had sent into the mosque, you know, was wearing a wire and was encouraging him to say negative things about the government and trying to incite him and, you know, showing Al Jazeera channels and showing videos of the Israelis coming and leveling villages in Palestine. And, but still, Lumumba was never violent. He was always so gentle. Just, and he still is. You know, I'm just amazed to visit him in prison and how gentle he still is and how compassionate. And, you know, even 9 years in prison, he's not all hardened and angry. I was afraid when I first went to see him that, you know, what effect it was going to have. And he said the other prisoners don't know what to make of him because he just carries himself so well and he doesn't get caught up in all the nonsense that's going on in the prisons. And, you know, he's just a really stand-up guy. And of those that were arrested with him, there was a mediation by a judge, and they agreed, okay, it was foolish to go to China after 9/11. In fact, when I heard it, I said, my God, why is he going to China? They're liable to arrest him when he gets back. And but they did start watching him, definitely. But they timed the arrest